Hello and welcome to Doc Young's Wrestling Weekly. My name is Victor Sosa, joined as always by the legend Les Thatcher. As I wrote to Les in an email earlier this morning, I'm not sure we have an hour's worth of anything to talk about today. Nobody took a leave of absence. Nobody walked out during a show. Nobody over 70 is coming out of retirement for one last match. This was just your garden variety. We've got shows on Monday, Wednesday, and whatever kind of week.
Yeah. Nobody's quit. I guess the big surprise, the Tony Khan surprise, was Jeff Cobb on Wednesday. Maybe that was. And when he and the exciting partner that came out with him, but the fans, this is awesome.
I'll do this after we get off the air today, and anyone who's listening to the program who maybe hasn't seen this will do this and be entertained this week. If the great Okan did not actually do it for you, go find Will Ospreay's Twitter, because apparently he and Okan went on quite the adventure this past week in America, and Okan was having the time of his life.
Oh, really? Where did they go?
I'm not sure exactly where they went. I'd have to go back. In fact, maybe I'll just go back and pull the pictures up now, though I won't describe them to you because I don't want to ruin the absolute gloriousness of the Great Okan's week for you. But this was some trip he had. I guess they were in Vegas, right? Because they were getting ready for the pay-per-view this weekend. So Dynamite was at least close to Vegas. I'm pretty sure that's actually exactly where they were.
Yeah, they were.
They were. So this was Okan's Vegas adventure this week. Yeah, okay. I'm looking at them right now. This was, he had himself a few couple of days, let me tell you.
You know what's surprising to me is I haven't seen Ring of Honor in forever. I had no idea who this guy was. I heard the name, but he looks so much older than when you tell me he's probably 18 months in.
Yeah. Well, 18 to 24 months from being a young boy, which, you know, means he spent a few years in the dojo and working openers
Sure.
or what have you. So, yeah.
But I'm a big Jeff Cobb fan. As I told you before we started recording, Tim Thatcher had, mentioned him to me, and then he had Jeff shoot me some links for some of his matches, and this is when I was booking the tournament in LA in 2012 and 2013, and I really liked, you know, he was just getting his feet wet, you know. I get why we shouldn't say that, but you know, he was still wasn't a veteran of the pros yet, but had a great amateur background. And the minute I watched his match, and I thought, yeah, I'd love to use him, but our budget was maxed. But I did tell him, you know, if we had run a tournament the next year, I would most certainly use him. But I've been impressed with him from the get-go. And of course, here's another guy who can wrestle his ass off on the mat, which is a plus for that company, I believe.
So I'm looking at this thing, and obviously we'll spend the bulk of this program taking a look at the pay-per-view this weekend, Double or Nothing for AEW in Las Vegas, and giving our thoughts on who's going to do what on this card. More of a pay-per-view prediction game kind of week this week, because there wasn't a whole lot else going on in the world of wrestling besides that. But I just wanted to call your attention to something I came across in the last hour or two before we started recording here, Les. That's an article on ESPN about CM Punk and his transformation into a mentor and trailblazer at AEW. That's the headline, if anyone wants to go to ESPN and read this, a really nice piece for themselves from Mark Raimondi. But it's a little bit of a conflict, if you will. I mean, obviously, it's great to have this long article on an outlet like ESPN in advance of your pay-per-view this weekend. But if you remember the promo battle between Punk and Adam Page on TV this week, Page appeared at least to be intimating that Punk was not well-liked in the locker room and maybe had gotten the ego and folks were not happy with him. And there were some stories on some other sites circulating that may be the case. And then here's this beautiful piece with all sorts of people from Will Hobbs to Dax Harwood to Darby Allin talking about what an egoless guy he is, how much they love being with him, how he's accessible to everybody.
conflicting stories,
yeah,
you say?
Yeah, I'm like, fellas, can we proofread these before they come out if this is the direction we're going? But it's a wonderful,
really?
It's a wonderful piece on ESPN's website talking about that match Punk had with Hobbs on the Rampage from Queens over last summer, and why it was so important to Hobbs and for Punk, actually, what it meant to Punk to actually be in the ring with Hobbs there so soon after Hobbs' mom had passed away and in front of this huge crowd, and some of the other things that actually FTR, Dax specifically, gave credit to Punk for the idea of how they, I don't want to say got back into Tony Khan's good graces, because we never heard or saw anything that would indicate they were on the outs with him. But, you know, as we've talked about, you know, they had not been featured to the degree that we thought they should have been. And that's not an isolated take. A lot of people felt that way. But Dax really credited Punk showing up and deciding that he wanted to work with them for them sort of getting back into a regular televised groove here and being figured into plans.
Well, you know what? I've always gotten along with Punk, you know, but he can be a cocky sucker. If you don't know him, he comes across as that. Well, you must see that in his promos anyway.
Sure,
I mean, if you're
yeah.
paying attention, you know. And, you know, he's confident, cocky, call it what you like. But I, like I say, I've always, you know, he and Cabana and Ace Steel worked for the Second City Saints, they called themselves. Time before they ever got a big name, they worked for me at HWA a few times. Plus, I, you know, Ace and I've gotten close. I've worked with Cabana later on, and as you know, being around Punk, I've always gotten along with. But yeah, you know what? There's nobody in this business that's been in it a long time that can't be helpful if they want to be. And apparently, you know, I think that's great. I think, you know, the fact of talking about Dragon working with Cargill, that's great for me. I don't know if it's great for her or not. If she really learns, I mean, God knows he can teach her. It's just if she can catch on. But, you know, they've got good people. And Regal, the kids that are there, if they're smart, they don't hang out with the other kids. They sit around where they can hear Regal talk or Arn talk or, you know, guys, JR, but, you know, and Dragon, people like that, because they can learn so much from these guys. They really can. And you know what? A couple of things have been brought to my attention that was about Punk, too. And someone had said, you know, since Punk had started with AEW, I don't know that I've seen Colt Cabana back on the show.
You know,
I was thinking I've seen him once or twice.
Once or twice. He also did have to disappear, as it turned out, to Australia for a short spell, Colt did, because he actually turned up on an episode of Young Rock this season.
Huh.
Yeah, no, he filmed an episode with it was The Rock telling the story of his tryout match, his first tryout match in Corpus Christi.
Oh, that's right. I remember it now.
And
sure.
Yeah, and
sure.
He portrayed the Brooklyn Brawler. Steve Lombardi actually was probably the most realistic guy out of anybody on the show
it
off.
Yeah, while we're on that, Luke Hawk did a fair job
as
of
Austin,
doing Stone Cold.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. And again, the skewered mind of Dwayne Johnson and how he put history together.
Right?
That's the thing. I sit there and I think, God, this don't fit here. God, that don't fit there. But it's entertaining, and plus a lot of the little inside things that he throws in at the average person watching this. Probably don't catch on to, but if you're in the wrestling business, you catch on, and it brings a smile to your face. And of course, some of it is, I don't know that his mother ever booked a huge card in Hawaii.
Oh, his mother?
But
no,
like,
no, his grandmother did. But
oh yes, oh yeah, yes, grandma had been a fact. And then like they brought Lars Anderson in, and they said, "What'd you bring a white boy?" But yeah, Lars was lucky to get out of Hawaii alive. I don't know what, I never heard the whole story, but some, you know, there was some falling out, and I don't know if they thought he was trying to steal the territory or whatever from her, but yeah, it got pretty salty, I guess,
for a while. I suppose is why he's never turned up in any of these flashbacks to Hawaii.
I'm guessing. And yeah, but yeah, I thought Luke Hawk did a good job of doing Austin, and Colt, you know, did a great job too. Some of these guys are so pitiful looking, don't know how to take the bump. I mean, there's not a lot, you're not going to see a lot of good wrestling on that show. In fact, some of them, I think, God, and I have to stop and think, oh, quit critiquing them. It's just a show.
Yeah, exactly. It's not actually for the match.
No, no, no. But then I guess I've been to indie matches that probably look worse than some of this too.
That, you know, that's probably fair too.
Yeah, as our friend Corny calls them, the mud shows. whatever. But anyway, back to what we were on. Yeah. So this big pay, they've hit their $1 million gate. The first one, right?
Yes. Congratulations to them. They came close to $1 million in Queens, and probably next year with, if they get another sellout with the ticket prices probably going up a little bit next summer, they should probably crack that in Queens again. But this will be the first one, I believe, here in Vegas.
Yeah. And then on the other hand, while we're talking about that, WWE is downsized.
That is an interesting decision. They had about 16,000 tickets out for the Money in the Bank show, which was originally going to be at the home of the Las Vegas Raiders, Allegiant Stadium. They were never thinking of selling the place out, nor were they operating in the stadium in Nashville in a couple of months for SummerSlam with the idea of selling it out. They just wanted to be able to hold more than your traditional NBA building for what they hoped would be bigger shows. And so I'm not really sure what the, well, I mean, listen, if they're changing it, it's obviously because they're not happy with the ticket sales. But basically, in looking at what they had at this point, if they were hoping for no less than 30 and the shows in July, they were already halfway there. I mean, I guess it was one of those things where, you know, you're kind of in between and you just, in their mind, based on the amount of time that was left, they decided to make that decision. And perhaps this is more of a sign. Not that Brock is going to be 15,000 tickets sold, but maybe their thought was he's not coming in. And if he's not, why are we doing this stadium thing? Because, you know, when you bring him in, it's going to cost you.
Right. Sure.
And you want to have as many people as possible there.
Yep. Yeah. That is a fact. That is a fact. And I guess that's going to happen at some point. I think Roman and Dwayne are for certain. It's just for certain when. That's the biggest point, I think. And I think that would be a hell of a draw.
It will. I imagine this for WrestleMania next year, but when do you get started on doing something, saying something, hinting something at that, you know?
Sure. Sure. And with that particular match, you don't want to wait till the last minute.
No, especially when you have 2 days, if you're going to do it again like they did this year. And you've got to get stuff sold. And, yeah, you want to get that out there as quickly as you possibly can, you know, in time for the on sale at least. So that's not something you want to delay. So, you know, I don't know what their timeline is, but you probably want to start hinting or teasing at the possibility, you know, well in advance of the on sale so that people, you know, one of those deals where you're almost like when you were bringing in Punk to AEW, where it was very obvious who you were talking about, but they never said his name.
And you don't want to do a Tony Khan lights out surprise.
No. You just want to make sure that you know, somehow he gets referenced a little more often in the weeks before the announcement.
Yeah, but I think Roman and Dwayne for sure, if it happens, and I feel real, you know, that's what they want, whether it happens or not. But if it does, it's going to draw. It'll draw on pay-per-view as well, I believe. Well, for no other reason than just Wayne's limited access, you know, our limited access as fans to him, you know, in that role. So, yeah, I think that's going to fly at some point in time. I'm curious for Sunday's pay-per-view, which I don't think I'm going to get a chance to watch. How many afterbursts are going to be?
Yeah, what's the over-under? There's right now, I believe, 10 matches listed between the pre-show and the actual show.
Well, at least five.
Five's fair, yeah.
At least five run-ins.
Let me look at this least. Lineup. One, two. Yeah, you know what? I might take the over.
Okay. You've beaten me before in these things. You know that. I mean, I'm not going to Vegas with a lot of money and think I'm going to win anything, because gambling wise, I'm not that good. And for those who are listening to us, Vic and I used to play the, you know, pick a winner for all the pay-per-views. And then I started to pout because Vic kept beating me all the time. And so we stopped.
Well, your problem was that you refused to think anything other than logically, whereas I just tried to think like these bookers would think.
See?
You just wanted everything to make sense, and that's why you kept losing.
You're right. Damn me anyway, right? How stupid to want that. Well, you know, I think we need to talk a little bit about Randy Orton here, too.
Oh, well, you're talking about how Riddle referenced potential back problems and injury with Randy, sort of teased that he may actually be done. I've not heard hide nor hair about this, so and forgive me. You know, my week has been such that I haven't had a ton of opportunity to get caught up on the stuff Brian and Dave have been talking about, so I don't know if they've already indicated whether or not that's legit. I looked at it or heard that promo, and just, you know, thinking about some of the stuff we talked about last week with respect to upcoming defenses for Roman Reigns and what was potentially on the table in terms of Matt Riddle actually being the opponent for Reigns at this show that's been moved from Allegiant Stadium into the MGM Grand Garden Arena, and then Orton to be the next opponent at SummerSlam. And if that's still on the books, then it seemed to me maybe between the tag title loss they had on SmackDown, Riddle clearly out for revenge for Roman Reigns based on the promo this week, that maybe Orton stays away, and perhaps that's how Roman retains. You know, it's essentially a 3-on-1 situation with the Usos lurking someplace. And Orton comes back here in a few weeks looking for revenge, and that's how you build a match at SummerSlam.
That's, you know what? You make good booker. That's not a bad idea at all. I don't know if that's going to see the light of day, but I like it. I like it. I do. Well, you know, and also maybe, let's face it, Randy has been as steady can be, unless there's been illness or, you know, an injury or something that has kept him out. So maybe he's just taking a little break, too. Roman's taking a break, right? And he may have a nagging injury. But, you know, I think a lot of people said, and I heard this from several different people, that, well, he was, you know, Riddle was so serious. And I thought, well, that's the way promos are supposed to be, right? He was just doing it the way it's supposed to be done, and which became, wow, that's different. But no, I don't know if Randy's actually hurt or not, but I really hope that, you know, he said they don't know about RKO Bro. How is it, you know, is it done or what? And of course, I hope not. That's has been a breath of fresh air, and those guys are just really starting to get red hot, don't you think?
Yes, and, you know, they really, the vibe is good. You know, Orton's talked about it, too, at length himself, about how he, you know, it's legit that he wasn't necessarily certain about this whole thing when it got put together, but the longer he's had the opportunity to be a part of it and hang out and be around Riddle, plus be in the ring with him, the more he's into it, and Riddle is one of his better friends in the locker room, legitimately.
Yeah. You know, Riddle's a good guy. You know, I had the opportunity to work with him at the Monster Factory, and he's a character, no two ways about that. And he was forever in the doghouse there. But then Randy was always in Corny and Danny Davis's doghouse. They have something in common there, too.
I was going to say, you know, you think about those personalities that you see on TV, but they may not be all that different in actuality.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Randy was, he was a prankster. I mean, when I say I didn't like, you know, but he was a kid, you know, and he was just doing things to have fun, and it rankled a few people. But Lord knows, if he's not one of the best damn workers in the business today, then there aren't any. And, you know, his body of work, if you stop to think about it, you know, and that's the thing. He's so unassuming, right? I mean, he's a hell of a technician. He worked his ass off. He can babyface or heel, whatever they want. In fact, he's getting over. That's one of the things I hate to see if they try to break these guys up too quick, too, is because he's turned into a hell of a babyface. He really is. And I don't want to see that team broken up, because I think it's one of the freshest things and one of the most over things in WWE on any of the brands.
Completely agree. And, you know, he had the run with Edge for a while years ago as Rated RKO, but Randy's not really known for being a tag team partner or having big tag teams. So here, 20 plus years into his career, to find a regular tag team partner in something that appears, or not appears, that is working, you know, can really put some years onto his career. So I think for his sake, just from a health standpoint, even though, you know, he's been relatively healthy lately, it's better for him to be in a situation like this, where even if he's not, if they're not teaming every week, that you know that you can do this on a fairly regular basis on television. And then any shows that he's doing off TV, you know, you can just put him in a tag match and everything will be fine. And, you know, I'm sitting here thinking about this, and obviously the idea that Riddle alluded to a potential back injury, and thinking about how ironic this is for folks who have basically seen Randy Orton's career from beginning to end, as you have certainly with his time in developmental, and I have since the time he got called up. You know, the first portion of his career, it was just one extended period of time away with injury after another. And all of a sudden, that just stopped. And he's gone how many years without being on the shelf for anything? He's become one of the most durable guys they've ever had.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. But then, you know, here's when we talk about him being durable, he's also one of the few guys who just wrestles, basically, does professional wrestling.
Yes.
He's not a diver or a quadruple somersaulter or anything like that. So, you know, that helps his longevity as well. But, yeah, I hope he's healthy, and I hope this is just a work, and I hope that he and Riddle stay together. And, honestly, he and Roman should tear the house down, too. I mean, talk about some good matches. Riddle and Roman, I think, will be good, and Riddle will get, you know, a hell of a backing from the fan base. No doubt in my mind about that. But I think if you're going to Randy next with Roman, and then figuring to get the Rock for the Mania next year, that should be, those houses should be draws automatically. You shouldn't even have to worry about them. I mean, and with the talent, your undercard, obviously you want it to be good, but those guys should be able to carry the ball without any problem whatsoever. Now, talking about factions and who's over and who's not over and why, and if I'm a fan of Edge, Adam his career speaks for itself. I'm a big Damian Priest fan because I've known Luis, since the Monster Factory. And Rhea Ripley is a talented lady. When I sit and watch that faction do their promo, long promo in the ring, I don't know that the fans are, they're there, but they're not really that pissed off or they're not excited. It's just, I don't know. I don't think they're getting over. Have you seen enough of them to give me an opinion?
In terms of how much stock the people are putting in them, I don't think much. I would agree with you on that, at least to this point. I still do like the pairing, and I'm hoping that they stick with it because I think it would be great for everybody that's around Edge right now. So I'm hoping that it really catches on. But I would also, in this case, sort of repeat the opinion I've heard Jim Cornette give, in that he feels like this faction is doing the House of Black better than the House of Black, that this is what the House of Black actually should be compared to what they've been doing lately. And I see the comparison, obviously. It's clearly understandable. And when I look at, and we'll get to this in a minute, but when we start looking at the matches for this pay-per-view and I see where the House of Black is, they've got good opponents for them, but based on how we got here, it's like, man, they were onto something and the people were with it, and somehow they've managed to wither a fair amount of it away. And maybe this is starting out the opposite, hopefully, for Edge and for the sake of Damian Priest and Rhea Ripley and everyone in WWE, that this is taking a minute to catch on. But hopefully, if and when it does, it's exactly the kind of springboard that both Rhea and Priest could use.
Well, yeah, I think that. But for me, when Edge's promos when he first came back, I thought were very superior to what I'm hearing for this faction.
Okay, that's fair.
And part of it is because those promos that he did when he first came back, you know, I'm going out here and sit down and just talk to you people and, you know, try to make this as understandable as I can. I thought we're very good and worked to get him over without a problem. I just think these are a bit fantasy based. And I'm not sure what I'm saying, but I listen the verbiage is not bad, but it's more if I'm doing a sci-fi movie or, you know, I don't know if that makes any sense to anybody.
He hasn't quite found something real to connect it to for himself yet.
No, absolutely. That's you covered it better than I did. Yeah, that's what it is. Because when I listen and you know, Adam Edge is articulate. There's no ifs, ands, and buts about that. But I don't know. It's just the whole premise of this particular faction just doesn't do any, you know. And the fact that you people don't understand us and you can't do this and we need, wait a minute, you're a Hall of Famer. Priest was getting over like $1 million as a baby face, and Rhea Ripley as well. So, but you know, that's something that I think comes from writers, that somebody should take the writers and tell them where to put that stuff, that you people don't like us. That is so basic in the wrestler turning heels arsenal of verbiage, right? You don't like me, so I got to be a bad guy. You know, if you're going to change our business, then come up with something original, because that's been, you know, and I see the value in that if it works. But all three of these people had the fans behind them, and all of a sudden, they didn't. Why didn't they? Well, they did, but the writer said they didn't. So that's the facts, right? And again, that's part of WWE is no matter what we did last week, you're supposed to forget that because we're WWE and we're doing something different this week, which doesn't work well. It didn't work well 10 years ago, and I don't think it's working all that well now. But anyway, there you have it. Injuries. Your favorite female on NXT is hurt.
Oh, so sad.
Yes. Is that from doing the splits for finish or what?
That's a good question. I don't know. Yeah, Nikita Lyons suffered a knee injury, I believe it was a partial tear to the MCL and some other problems, so she'll be out for a little bit. Obviously, we wish anyone who gets injured the best, but especially Nikita Lyons. What else was happening on the show this week? They're still building towards this Joe Gacy thing, and I couldn't be less interested in that for poor Bron Breakker.
Yeah, well, the other great thing that some in extremely great writer has come up with, other than the Druids, would be Wendy Chow beating someone to death with balls. And I don't mean those kind of balls either. I'm talking about, did you?
I'm glad I missed that.
Well, I wish I'd have missed it, but I didn't. You know, NXT, there'll be a segment. I thought, yeah, that was pretty damn good. And then we go to the type of thing that we're just talking about. And I thought, okay, fast forward through this. When trouble is, I'm watching it in real time, so I can't.
See, you got to rearrange this and start watching it after the fact. The fast forward, that's the great equalizer right there.
I know. And of course, they brought the LA Knight up to the main roster with thank God he's joined Walter and Butch and Rodriguez. Been changed to again. Was she Gonzalez changed to Rodriguez, or Rodriguez changed to Gonzalez? What I'm losing track. I can't tell the players that are programmed.
Gonzalez changed to Rodriguez. That was it.
That's it. Yes. But yeah, LA Knight is now
Max something, right?
Max Dupree.
Max Dupree. That's
Max
right.
Dupree.
Yeah.
It has a male modeling agency.
Now, is this an actual male modeling agency, or is this in air quotes? Like, is he got one of those Buff Bagwell side gigs?
I don't know. I haven't seen his model agency yet.
Okay. I don't know.
That's probably it was a good line. We'll give that to him. But does he have? Do you have any people lined up? No, but we'll come to that later. I don't know. But no, that yeah. It's and I thought, wow, that guy looks just like LA Knight.
Wait, you know what's funny about that now that you mentioned that? And I realize Vince, as we've talked about in the last month or so, he's back on the kick of not letting anybody use their names. And, you know, here with Max Dupri, we're like four names in for the former LA Knight. But the thing was, he actually changed his name to LA Knight to come here, and then they changed it again.
Yeah. I'm not sure he knows who he is.
Right? Like, what happens? How does that work? It's just so weird.
It's WWE is a world unto itself. What doesn't matter what the rest of the world does or the rest of the wrestling industry. This is what we do because we are the yardstick by which you measure insanity. I guess I don't know, but yeah. You know, and the crazy thing was, I said a couple months, NXT's coming back. They're getting better, and there are those odd times that they are. You know, they do have something strong. But then they've got the silliness with the mafia, you know, and he's the Don of NXT, and then somebody beats him, and they're the Don of NXT. Oh, stop it, please. You know, it was. But you know, I guess when you got that kind of backing and you have that kind of income, then you can do whatever you want to a certain degree, and it will come back, I think, to haunt him at some point. It just hasn't done that as of yet. And I don't know. I keep saying that. I want NXT to be so much better. And there's some good talent there. It's just the stories are just, I don't know what they are, but they're not very good. That I do know.
No, they're very much a brand who is still searching for it here, what, now 6+ months into this rebrand at this point, or at least close to it. You know, I think maybe because we get into the whole week-to-week thing, you know, maybe the view from the Peanut Gallery is more like, hey, this has only been 4 or 5 months. It takes a little more time, especially when you've got the boss up in Stanford occasionally cherry-picking some of your talent, and then you got to start over again. So it's... You know, particularly with no competition on Tuesday night, maybe I don't want to say we're being too harsh. If it's bad, it's bad. But the idea that it you know, it's not like they've been like this for 18 months. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yes, I get what you're saying. Exactly. Yeah, I just keep my fingers crossed that whoever's writing this nonsense, maybe they get another job. I don't know.
We're rooting for them to maybe even get a promotion. Who knows? I mean, they're...
Yes, right. Up to the main office or something. Yes, please.
All right, so we are going to head into the portion of the program where we start looking at this weekend's AEW Double or Nothing pay-per-view, which is happening on a Sunday. I want to make sure I make mention of that again in case you were hoping to get this weekend or just used to the idea of AEW running their pay-per-views on Saturday. This is on a Sunday. And there's one other important note before we talk about the main event a little later on here, Les, that I want to make mention regarding what Tony Khan said about when it's going to go into the ring. I'm talking about the AEW championship match. In fact, you know what? We won't make the prediction now, but we'll do it now. Game 6, as we record this, of the Eastern Conference Finals in the NBA is tonight between the Celtics and the Heat. And Tony Khan was asked about this in an appearance earlier this week. He was being interviewed someplace. And said if there's a Game 7, which would also be on Sunday, that the main event would not go into the ring until Game 7 was over because he wanted to, you know, make sure. And it's something that's happened in UFC before where there's other events and you hold off until that's over before running your main event. And that's exactly what he promised would happen on Sunday if there's, in fact, a Game 7. The main event will not go into the ring until there's a winner in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Well, you know what? That's smart because I'm a huge Celtics fan to begin with. But when the NBA season started, if you'd have said, "You think Celtics will go to the finals?" and I thought, "No, I see some good young talent, and they have a chance to build something." But as of today, yes, I think they're going to be playing the Warriors in the finals. I do, and I mean. The guys, it's been a pretty even across the starters who's been, you know, they're scoring, they're all, you know, getting their points. But I think the biggest thing for the Celtics at this point is their defense. They've smothered the Nets, and they're smothering these guys too. So, you know, Seth Curry and that crew, they're going to have to find a way to get around that defense, I think. But, yeah, I think that's going to be exciting, and I think Tony Khan's probably making the right call there to let that get by the boards. Of course, you might mention tonight, too, you don't want to turn Rampage on at 10 o'clock. It won't be there.
That's correct. I believe it's 6:30 Eastern time today for Rampage. Obviously, more playoff action in the NHL. Yeah. That's going to be on TNT today. And Rampage, I should point out, by the way, is live from Las Vegas today. So there's actually a match here that's on Sunday where we have we don't actually know who Britt Baker's opponent is in the Owen Hart Women's Tournament Final because the semifinal is today on Rampage.
Right, exactly. Shall we talk about this pay-per-view? Is that...
Yes, we've got 10 matches here. Some of them will obviously go through a lot quicker than others. For example, Jade Cargill versus Anna Jay for the TNT title. Obviously, doesn't look like Jade Cargill's win streak, regardless of what we think, is going to be ending anytime soon. So I presume this is a win and a relatively quick one for the champ.
No. And you know something I want to make mention of here, because this came up the 25th of this month, was the anniversary of the Pillman 2000
show. Oh, yes.
Show.
Okay. The first one?
Yeah. No. The first one was in 98.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But I wouldn't remember this, the date, except Brian Westcott, who's a member of CAC, had posted a card up on Facebook. And if you'd held a gun to my head before I saw it and said, how many matches are on the Pillman show? I said, yeah, there was a bunch, but I couldn't tell you exactly how many. But the point I'm going to make here is we had 15 matches. Of course, we had photo shoot with the stars, and we had an auction. And all of our event, that event started around noon on the day of the show and ended around 11 o'clock at night, with all these extra things and 15 matches. They have 10 matches, and I'm just curious to see
how long this show's going to run.
Yeah.
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 I agree with you.
You know, and some of those matches are going to have to put some time in because they're important matches. And so anyway, I just wanted to make that comparison because it just came to my mind, you know, when you mentioned 10 matches on the pay-per-view, and I thought, wow, we only had five more than that.
Yeah, and it was an all-day thing. It's a good point. That's a very good point. One of the other matches on the pay-per-view, or maybe the pre-show, I'm not sure exactly how this is going to be put together, but the House of Black versus the Death Triangle of Pac, not returning, he's already wrestled, but Rey Fénix back off that arm injury, and Penta. These guys are folks who certainly can perform, but the House of Black, I don't know whether it's by basically what they've been doing for themselves, but like I said in talking about the group in Judgment Day in WWE, the House of Black has really sort of been minimized, if you will. I mean, they've been reduced to short promos and matches on Rampage where they're calling out Fuego del Sol. No disrespect intended to Fuego, but, you know, if you're trying to move up the totem pole here in AEW, that's the opposite direction of the place you want to be going. Nevertheless, this could be a pretty good match, but when you got 10 matches and the most important ones need time, this one may be one that suffers in terms of time.
Yeah, we've talked about when I did my guest coach stint down in Orlando, Aleister Black impressed me. We had a chance to talk, but I mean, in watching him and in a show that week and in training and everything, I thought, damn, this guy's got a lot and he's going to do well. But so far, those guys haven't done that much at all. I mean, their appearances have been short. I can't think of a memorable match at this point. Can you?
I cannot. You know, Malakai Black was on an incredible upward trajectory until he brought in his stablemates. You know, once Brody King and a couple of weeks after that, Buddy Murphy showed up, all of a sudden it's like somebody slammed the brakes on this thing.
Yeah, it seems that way, doesn't it?
It does to me.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And so, yeah, it's one of those things that we keep waiting for it to pop, and it doesn't. And I don't know that this is going to pop it either. I mean, no matter how long the match goes, I think they need Black's group needs some really seriously strong baby faces to have some good matches with and to slip over some way. And I just don't see this as the match that's going to make them stand out.
Agreed. Although I will take the House of Black in this one, as they are undefeated, at least as a unit in AEW, and I don't figure that this is the place to change that.
No, I don't either. And I will go along with you. Yeah.
Well, I know you said you weren't going to be able to catch a show at least on Sunday, but if you had the time to sit down, I'm sure the match you would be anticipating more than any other would be the Jericho Appreciation Society versus Moxley, Danielson, Santana, Ortiz, and Eddie Kingston.
I appreciate it more when it's over.
I think you and me both, actually.
Yeah, I don't know who hurriedly threw this whole thing together. I just don't think it's that strong. It's just not. This whole sports entertainer. I got mad at Chris made Blade Sports Entertainer of the Week.
Oh.
If you really wanted to piss me off, Chris, that did it, because I trained him, and he's damn sure not a sports entertainer.
Heat.
Huh?
I said that there's some heat right there now you've got with Jericho.
Yes. But still, I come back to this. We're sports entertainers and they're not, okay? Then I want to see sports entertainers be different in their offense and defense than the professional wrestlers. And when you're just throwing punches and kicks, how can my punch and kick look different than your punches and kicks?
Yeah, hard to differentiate them from anybody else on the show.
Yes.
Yeah.
So again, I think the premise of this, we're sports entertainers and we look down our nose at you. If you were doing that like 15 or 20 years ago, it might have got heat. I don't, you know, but I think people are just so sports entertainers. Yeah, they're, you know, those who don't like them say, okay, they're around and do I care? No. And those who love them, love them. But I don't see any differentials in these matches. So I think the whole premise is just why, you know, hey, there's 10 guys here that just dislike the hell out of each other and they're going to fight. Okay. You know, that I just used that word, and I want to apologize. I'm so tired. Dragon does it, too. I want to fight this guy. God damn it. Brian, you're out of WWE. You can wrestle people now. It's all right. It's, you know, I realize WWE has changed its own culture in terms of its verbiage. I just assume it didn't change the entire industry that way. Thank you very much.
By the way, but, a few weeks ago, I took Jericho to task and then had to walk that back, and I was happy to do so. Remember, I mentioned about how he got himself in great shape right around the time Fozzy was going on tour, and how that indicate his priorities. But to his credit, all those shows were not on Wednesdays, and he's made TV every single week while they were on the road. Although now maybe you might be hoping that he books a few more Wednesdays, I would point out that Fozzy is getting ready to go back out on the road again. I just saw a whole nother list of tour dates. And once again, he has made sure that Wednesdays are free. So you will still be seeing a lot more of the Jericho Appreciation Society, no matter what happens on Sunday.
And the other thing is, except for Jericho's bodyguard, the other guys are mid-card talent.
They at best at this moment.
Yeah. And I don't know that their association with Chris is going to change that. I don't know. I'm not the booker. What the hell? Nobody cares what I think. But it'll be a battle, and it'll be all over the building. And so my friend Jim will give it 30 stars probably, because he loves throwing those stars out.
So we got the Hardys versus the Young Bucks. Now, this was a program that has been a long time in the making. Obviously, it's not the first time these two teams have met, but they wanted to do something much longer term when they were in Ring of Honor. But the Hardys understandably took the big money offer from Vince a few years ago and went back to WWE, which pulled the plug on that idea. Whether or not they still have designs on a long-term program, I don't know. But, you know, in looking at this list of matches, I was reminded this week that was actually 5+ years ago, the Hardys and the Bucks in Ring of Honor. I did not realize it had actually been that long. Unfortunately, it looks like it's been every bit the 5 years in watching Matt and Jeff try to get around. So I don't know that it's necessarily the best idea to have something long term with the Bucks at this point. However, if you were going to do that, then I would imagine at this particular point in time, it's not one of those, how do I say this? It's not second or third from the top at this point. So you really could go either way and bring it back, because it's not something that I don't think Tony's going to be depending on, at least not on this show, to bring anything home.
I can't imagine. You know, to me, Matt's promo Wednesday night, he's right. They came on the scene, and I don't know if they were revolutionary, but they were. I won't know that I'll call it that, but it was a tougher time in the business in 1990, a lot tougher. And they've weathered that, and I'll give them that. And he said, we're not the elite, we're the elite. And I said, oh, God, I wish you weren't. I'm so tired of delete, 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 and that whole insane, ignorant, stupid mess that they did in their complex. And I say that because that's the way I looked at it. I'm sure somebody found it fascinating and funny and entertaining and artistic, and I found it none of the above. But anyway, his promo was strong, and he made a point. And I don't know either about, I know if it were up to me, I'd rather put the Hardys over, because if it comes down to wrestling, they're better wrestlers. They're not better clowns, I don't think. And Lord knows if Jeff wants to start matching goofy bumps with those guys, we may have some ambulances standing by. I don't know. But if it were me, you know my stance, I'd put the Bucks over. The Hardys over. And I don't know if that's going to happen. Because the Bucks have gotten a little strength from being around Cole and O'Reilly and Fish and that crew, but they still need that. They've faded, don't you think? I mean, this is not Les doesn't like them or Les does like them. This is just looking at them. They haven't been featured that much. They actually haven't been on the air that much, and which is not hurt ratings or the business at all, but I just don't, I don't know. I just think it, to me, I'd put the Hardys over, because I'm guessing that a lot of young people just figure the Bucks are going to win it. Don't you?
You know what? I agree with everything you're saying, and I'm not just going to take the Bucks though, to just for the sake of being devil's advocate. I don't disagree with, as I said, with what you said, and I could certainly see them going in that direction. I would, in this particular match, opt for the Bucks, and here's why. Regardless of our opinions of their style, who has the most potential for upward trajectory at this point in their careers in terms of mileage and what they can do? And after having watched Matt and Jeff now here together for the last few weeks, if the Bucks want to turn this into a program, then the Hardys will win. If the Jacksons are figured in for something a little more important sooner rather than later, then they should win, because this thing is going to be on the treadmill to nowhere, because I'm not sure Matt and Jeff can deliver the kind of matches they were looking forward to delivering with the Bucks 5 years ago before it was interrupted by the big WWE offer. And so I would rather not watch a match. I'm not comparing it to anything Ric Flair is going to be doing here in a couple of months. My point is, you think of Matt and Jeff Hardy, and there's a certain style and an era that you think of, and we're getting to a place where it's going to be more and more difficult for them to deliver that. And so in that case, I'd rather go with the Bucks.
Okay. It's nothing wrong with your logic. Not at all. A coin toss. It can go either way, depending on what they're going to do, right?
Yes, very much so. Yeah.
And then I was, you were mentioning that on depending on what they're going to do with the Bucks. I'm thinking, when does their fellow clown come back?
Well, he was apparently at TV in the last week or two and has decided to spend still more time back home rehabbing some of those injuries, which obviously he's had all the surgeries, I believe Kenny Omega has. But word on the street was that the couple of them were still not 100%, and he still needed to do a little more rehab work on it. And rather than coming in every week and interrupting that process, he's going to get back to work. So good for him on that.
Yeah, well, but I'm thinking that might affect where they go with this match too.
Also true. Yes, you're right. If he's not coming back soon, that may actually have an effect on what you would do there. I don't think Serena Deeb is going to be successful in her challenge for the AEW women's title. It's been a long road to this for Thunder Rosa. I certainly wouldn't change it now with her first defense and a potential next challenger on the horizon with the winner of the Owen Hart women's tournament. But if they give them time, I think that while it may be difficult with the crowd, simply because the crowd has now gotten used to seeing somebody like Britt Baker in that mix and the way they react and respond to her, that Rosa and Serena can have a terrific match if they get a fair shake here.
Yeah, Jen, and I agree with you. It's too early to take the belt off of Rosa. But it should be a good match, and she can slip over, and it doesn't have to be, done right, it won't hurt Serena at all.
Well, that takes us to the tag title match, where we've got the teams together after this week on Dynamite seeing a triple threat match. All the partners joining in now for the AEW tag team titles, Champs, Jungle Boy, and Luchasaurus defending against Ricky Starks and Powerhouse Hobbs, as well as Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland. A number of ways, obviously, you could go here with this. There has appeared to be some difference of opinion over the past few weeks between Christian and Jungle Boy. You wonder if that's going to figure into anything. He got them into this match where they're taking on two teams instead of one. Maybe they're kind of feeling they've gotten sideways with Christian about that for putting them in a three-way match as opposed to a traditional tag team match. But, you know, Lee and Strickland are relatively new, which might be reason enough to go with them. Starks and Hobbs, you know, we keep waiting for someone to do something with these two guys. Maybe this is the opportunity for that. And if you were going to move Jungle Boy into a singles division and maybe a feud with Christian, if you want to keep going in that direction where there's a little bit of a tension there between the two of them, a hard lesson maybe for Jungle Boy to learn thanks to Christian Cage, maybe this would be the opportunity to do it.
Yeah, that's a possibility too. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. The three-way, it's going to be a spot fest, obviously. That's what those usually turn into. I don't know. I just don't know. I don't think Jungle Boy as a single is okay. But, you know, to me, doing because of size, then if I'm booking, it's limiting the people that he can defend against. You know, my friend Jim and I were talking. Like when I first saw Keith Lee and heard he and Dijak on NXT, only Dijak wasn't Chris Dijak at the time. He was Dijanovic or whatever the hell it was. And then they changed him to six other names in a minute. Anyway, I was impressed. And I thought, yeah, well, this guy is not, he's still learning, meaning Keith Lee. And so, yeah, I see, you know, he's going to be good. I saw a lot of things. And actually, what I saw on when they brought him up to the main roster I didn't get off on it. It just, you know, wow, this is great. No, it was there. Something, and Jim and I both agree on this, something is missing. There's something off kilter about Keith Lee, and I don't know what the hell it is for sure. One of the things is his facials, not when he's working necessarily, but he borders on being just a bit arrogant. I don't know if you understand. I mean, I know you understand what I'm saying, but if you catch on to where I'm coming from or not.
Miscast as a babyface, maybe?
Yeah, he looks a little.
I mean, the natural reaction for a guy that size to do some of the things he's capable of is going to get positive reactions from the people. But to your point about the way he carries himself, I mean, you know, the whole catchphrase for a while was bask in my glory. I mean, that sounds like a heel, doesn't it?
Sure does.
Yeah.
Sure does. And maybe that's what he should be switched to. But then you're talking about limiting yourself to who you work with, right? But there's something off. I can't put a finger on it and pinpoint it and say it's this or that. But he does come across as a bit arrogant. And we have Punk. We don't need two arrogant baby faces on the same
I'm going to say the champs retain, but do not be surprised if Lee and Strickland win this time, the championships here.
Yeah, that's a possibility. But I would kind of maintain with a champ because the champions are. It's not that I think that's a great team, but they're over with the people, not because of their mechanical talents, but because of who they are.
Yeah, folks love them. No reason to rock the boat.
Yeah, no, you're right, and it's not. So I'd go with the champs on this one, too.
So here's an interesting question with the Owen Hart Women's Tournament Final. We have that semifinal match that's going to air on Rampage later today as we record this between Ruby Soho and Chris Statlander. The winner would take on Dr. Britt Baker. You could make the argument that either one of them, Soho or Statlander, should win this here and make two challengers because Baker, correct me if I'm wrong, has Britt Baker gotten her rematch since she dropped the title?
Wow. You know what? I don't remember. I don't think so.
Oh, so I'll say this. If she has and already lost, then I'd like to see her win the tournament and let's have a rubber match. If she hasn't, then there's no reason for her not to win this. Here's the thing. You could have Soho or Statlander win the tournament if Baker hasn't gotten her rematch because she can say, well, that's fine. You know, you won the tournament, but I'm still owed a rematch.
Right.
But if she hasn't lost it, then she should win the tournament and let's do this again.
Yeah. That's I don't see Ruby winning the match with Statlander. I don't.
Oh, so you think it's going to be Baker and Statlander?
I think so. Okay. I think so. I don't see a great match out of Ruby and Baker. I don't know that I'll see a great match out of her and Statlander, but I think it'll be a better match than her and Ruby. If you're going to get a good match, then I think that's the way you should go.
All right. Well, we'll keep an eye on that and see who wins on Rampage tonight and gets the assignment on Sunday. That brings us to the final for the Owen Hart Men's Tournament. Excuse me. Adam Cole versus Samoa Joe. Again, interesting directions, at least potentially here. Perhaps Adam Cole has gone this far in the tournament with the intention to win after a couple of losses to Adam Page. But that, again, I think it would seem at least would put him in line for another title shot, which may actually speak to what you're doing in the main event. Having said that, I don't know that I want him winning, even though he's won the tournament, if he wins this match, if I want him back in the title picture just that fast. So for all those reasons, I'm going with Samoa Joe.
Yeah, I'm picking Joe, too. Well, and this gives, I keep wanting to call him just the Undisputed Era, but it's the Elite Era, isn't it?
Undisputed Elite.
Undisputed Elite, yes, that's it. Anyway, if Joe wins and then it leaves Undisputed as, with heat and wanting revenge, and that could build to singles match. Well, Joe has already beat Kyle, so it could set up some sort of tag thing too.
That's also true. You know, keep an eye out for Jay Lethal, Sanjay Dutt, and Satnam Singh in this match as well. Unfortunately,
yeah,
we talked about the over under on run-ins. You could see a lot in this one.
Well, we just came up with one of the reasons why my friend Jim calls it the afterbirth.
Yeah.
Home of the afterbirth, right?
cannot argue that. I am still, however, very much looking forward to that match. It's two tremendous talents, and we're getting to the stretch of matches here that I'm very much interested in. I imagine most people are as well, and these are the ones that are going to do a buy rate for them if they are going to do one here. You've got MJF versus Wardlow. You know, we have at times questioned how long they were going to tease this stuff with Wardlow, whether or not it was a good idea to do that while MJF was still beefing with Punk. And for all of that, they've really gotten this train on the tracks moving well in the last 4 to 6 weeks or so. Very interested in this. The crowd is with Wardlow just exactly as you would hope it would be. And this is the time for Wardlow to get a big win.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he steals it here some way. And I say steal that he just doesn't clean MJF's clock and just beat him down and beat him. He's going to steal it some way. It's going to look like MJF, or that's the way I'd book it, where it looked like MJF. You know, maybe, I don't want to see an interference, but I'm sure Sean Spears will have his 2 cents worth in here, and I hate that. I'd just soon see this match go between the two guys who was built to it, and forget the run-ins and the extra curricular activity on the outside. Wardlow can slip over here with something,
I like your choice of words here specifically in terms of slip over, because we could end up getting too cute here if MJF wins with the stipulation about Wardlow can never sign an AEW contract, because then, no one believes he's actually leaving the building. So then it just becomes a waiting game for you to figure out how they're going to bring him back in. But you don't want him to win with 4 power bombs, because this issue, even though it's been dominating television for the last few months and has been teased forever, you really could get more matches out of this, and 4 power bombs would be a definitive end to this thing. You want to save that for, the third match, or longer if you can.
Yes.
So, yeah, your idea of him somehow escaping with a win and getting his contract keeps this thing going.
Well, when I say slip over, I'm not saying do it. What I'm about to use an example, but like the old days, the heels kicking my butt, and it gets a couple false finishes in. God, I know we don't want too many of those, do we, today? But then finally, where it looks like the people believe, yes, Les just got his ass handed to him, and he's going to lose, I'm able to hook a quick small package or a backslide or something, and at the heel kicks out at 3 1/16. And now, Wardlow's a little dazed, but gets his hand held up, and MJF gets all his heat back because he's kicking that bottom rope and screaming, pulling his hair out. This belonged to me. And you got it. You work your return from that.
That brings us to the main event for the AEW Championship. Champion Adam Page versus CM Punk. I mentioned how I think the result of this match could play into the Adam Cole Samoa Joe match, because you could easily do Cole and Punk if Cole wins the tournament, because it's a different champion. At the same time, like I said, I wasn't ready for Cole to be back in the title picture. If Joe wins, it's an interesting reprise for longtime wrestling fans who remember the classic series of matches Punk and Joe had over the Ring of Honor World Championship. And there's a lot of things you could play off in there, and a lot of footage you now have access to, thanks to Tony Khan purchasing everything having to do with Ring of Honor. By the same token, you've got a young champion in Page who's been underutilized, not booked all that well since winning the championship, who could use the incredible steam that he would gain off of not just a tremendous match with CM Punk, but a win over Punk. And then there's also the camp that says Punk probably should have been champion months ago. So why not do this? Because that's your best opportunity to get even more eyeballs back on the program and see who Punk's next challenger will be in the coming weeks.
But I'm going to go with this, plain and simple. I get Chris's hand held up here. Punk doesn't need it. If they do it right, Punk still doesn't lose his steam. Chris wins it.
Adam.
And Chris. I get Chris on the brain. And Adam, yes. And I love his work, and he's a good kid. I know him. He's worked for me. I just don't like his persona currently, where he's got his ass on his shoulders 24/7. I don't know. Unless, if I were a commentator, I have to say, is the pressure of this title getting to him? Is that why we don't see him ever relaxed? And I would have wanted the champion to come out and be a little more comfortable. Yeah, you're CM Punk. I know that, and I know your background, I know your history, I know what these people think of you, but, I'm the champion, and I want to be in the same bracket that you're in, and you had to work to get there, and I'm going to work to get there, and part of that, me working to get there, is going to be put your shoulders on the mat, which is fine, and I'm going to put Adam over here. I mean, I would. And, he can slip over. I don't want him to heel over it. Again, give me a good wrestling match. And either Punk, trips over his own feet, or I won't say trip, step on a banana peel, because the idiot Bucks have already done that live on a Ring of Honor show, which is one of the reasons I got nothing for him.
Yeah.
Assholes. But anyway, I'm going to leave the title where it's at and let him slip over Punk in some way. And you've got to return either way. But I think a lot of fans already think that Punk, just give him the belt. You guys don't even have to have the match. And I think that's why I want to get Adam over strong.
I find no fault with your logic. I just think Tony Khan is probably one of those people who says, just give him the belt. So.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure he's a he's a fan. Yes, I'm sure. I'm sure he. That's probably Tony Khan's thought. But like I say, what's Leo Garibaldi always say?
Oh, give them what they want, just not when they expect it.
Thank you. Leo Garibaldi through Vic Sosa.
I'm good. Like I said, I'm going to take the other side of that equation and Punk just because I think Tony Khan is ready to do it. That doesn't necessarily mean it's the best move because, like you mentioned, you've got a young guy in Page who is a guy who can be around for a lot longer as a top guy.
And if Punk is going to win it, I want him to steal it too.
Interesting.
I don't want him, I don't want him to just massacre Page.
Yeah. You know what? That could play into the fact that he's been, and I shouldn't say he's been because it's only one place, Long Island. But, you know, they've got this difference of opinion where Punk's come off a little bit heelish in the face-offs they've had. And he came off of being booed in Long Island a couple of weeks ago. You might be able to do something subtle here if Punk slips over.
You're right. Good thinking there, Vic. Yes, no, and you're right. So the good thing that is maybe it hadn't come out of you and I talking about it, but we are of the opinion here that several of these matches could go either way. And in terms of if I'm the promoter and trying to sell tickets, that's a good thing because nobody can say it's cut and dried. So-and-so's going to win. So-and-so's going to win. So-and-so's going to win. So our conversation has made me more believe that this should be a better show because there should be some surprises.
Well, I hope you're right about that. I think we made this point in the last week or two. You know, the television in the last month hasn't been great, yet somehow it's leading into a handful of matches that are maybe among the more interesting for me than we've had in AEW in a while. So, you know, it has not been stellar television, but this could end up being one heck of a show.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. And let's keep our fingers crossed and hope that it is. Huh?
Absolutely. So we're winding down this edition of Doc Young's Wrestling Weekly, but there is more than enough time for you, Mr. Thatcher, to let everybody know what they can get a hold of you. And just as importantly, some of these goods that we've got out here in terms of DVDs and T-shirts.
Yeah, okay. Well, first of all, if you'd like to book me for a seminar or a weekend training camp, you can reach me, lesthatcher28@gmail.com. Be more than happy to get with you on the information, costs, et cetera, et cetera. And obviously, T-shirts are always one of the things we talk about. The Briscoe Booster T-shirt, the first ever pro wrestling T-shirt on the market, put out in 1972 by Jack, Jerry, and myself. You can get that at Pro Wrestling Tees, as well as I'm a Les Thatcher guy. And Wrestling from the Heartland, Volumes 1 and 2, we told you before, 6 hours of content on both of those two DVD sets. Matches, interviews, extras. Joe Dombrowski does the play-by-play. I do the behind-the-scenes stuff. I guess you call it the color. And I think you'll find it interesting and entertaining. You can get those at joe-dombrowski.com or at prowrestlinglibrary.com. And, of course, the Brian Pillman Show's Anthology, the 20-year anniversary, 4-DVD set, 15 hours of content from all four of those great shows in 98, 99, 2000, 2001. And you can get that at PillmanShows.com or at the two addresses I mentioned earlier, Joe-Dombrowski and Pro Wrestling Library. And Saturday, July the 9th, I'll be in Sevierville, Tennessee at the Sevierville Civic Center for Heroes and Legends, the 17th Fan Fest. And it should be a good one. This guy has put on some great stuff in Fort Wayne, Indiana. This will be his first one in Sevierville. There will be matches that night, but I'm going to be at the Developmentally Speaking podcast booth from 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. to sign autographs, take pictures, talk wrestling, and whatever else you can find for us. So join us there on July the 9th. And, of course, I'm doing this podcast from Rocky Top, Tennessee at our Mountain Barn Builders lot where we sell buildings for storage, playhouses, pet kennels, chicken coops, virtually anything you can want in the way of a storage unit, we can put together for you. I'm usually here Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. to 5, and we're at 313 North Main Street in Rocky Top. That's off of exit 128 in Tennessee, off of I-75. And you can reach me here at 865-207-8457. And if you're in the area, stop by, you know, check out our inventory, or just stop in and say hello, and we can talk wrestling for a while. So anyway, there you have it. I want to say too, you know, Memorial Day weekend, if you're traveling, if you're partying, please be safe out there. Don't get locked up. Don't get a ticket. I know they're talking about here in Tennessee, you know, with traffic stops for sobriety and checking this and that and the other things, and there'll be speed traps. So be safe out there. God bless you all. Enjoy your holiday. And Victor, you got big plans for this holiday?
Not at the moment, although that could change since we do have the long holiday weekend. You never know what could come up. So the calendar's open for potential for something. But right now, it just looks like enjoying a lot of the interesting things that are going to be on TV from a sports perspective this weekend. Everything from the pay-per-view we just ran down to playoff NBA basketball and hockey. And, of course, for our English football fans, the Champions League final is this weekend. So there's plenty of stuff to take in if you are not already on the road or on vacation or someplace where you want to be out and about.
I heard that. And swimming pools are opening up most around the country, right? If they're not open already.
That's a fact. Yeah. And it's going to be warming up, particularly in the Northeast here, going to get good Sunday into Monday. So there, you still should be able to salvage something out of your weekend if you're in the Northeast and you see this cloudy weather that is making its way through.
We're supposed to clear up here, but it has been storm city for the last 24 hours off and on. So we're supposed to have a clear weekend. I hope everybody else does. And again, drive safe, be safe, enjoy yourselves, and let's all pay tribute to those who have given their lives so that we all could be free.
Yes, happy Memorial Day weekend to you and yours. Yeah, take that opportunity to reflect on exactly why we have the opportunity to enjoy all the stuff that's happening this weekend. And with that, we're going to wrap up this edition of Doc Young's Wrestling Weekly. For the legend Les Thatcher, my name is Victor Sosa. Thank you so much for taking time out of this long holiday weekend to spend some of it with us. And we'll talk to you again next week.